I know that there are people in the UFO community who would say, no, there's nothing mystical about it. These are nuts and bolts spacecraft from other planets. And maybe that's true of some of them. I don't want to dismiss that entirely. But to the extent that those nuts and bolts spacecraft from other planets are piloted by intelligent beings, those intelligent beings come from a culture where they have their own sense of their place in the universe, and which is ultimately going to incorporate a mystical dimension to it.
One of the really interesting correlations, I would say, that speaks to the UFO subject specifically being given a place amongst mysticism is the synchronicity, is the existence of like them turning up at the right time for someone, or that's how it's interpreted by them, or, you know, finding a deep lesson within it, or being given, you know, telepathically a deep lesson. And so there's, you know, there's an undeniable level of mysticism that speaks to the same type of phenomena being experienced when the wheels of Ezekiel came down from the skies, or, you know, it seems to be. And I would agree with, like, you know, the Jungian framework or what Jacques Vallée used to posit, although I think he's shifted a little bit in terms of his interpretation, that this could be, in essence, kind of an evolutionary driver. Like, it's like a morphogenetic field of some form that, you know, creates these avatars and these archetypes to drive evolution, to push humanity in a certain direction. Or it's, you know, it's genuinely piercing the veil between dimensions, and these things are coming in from above or below. In terms of the, because the UFO subject is something I definitely wanted to talk to you about. I mean, you've done so many interviews on that, and that's one of my primary fields of interest. And even though the orbs I saw were flying and unidentified, I still don't know if I should be speaking to a government scientist or a shaman in the Amazon basin, because it seems to again bridge this gap between mysticism and technology, and, you know, kind of invokes Arthur C. Clarke's third law of being indistinguishable from magic. But where do you sit on the UFO subject? Like you said, it's a spectrum. So what do you see as the spectrum?
Well, let's look at it from the point of view of a conventional science for a moment. Most scientists would say that it's very unlikely that we're in contact with alien beings, because the other star systems that could support intelligent civilization are light years away. And how are they going to get here? Even if they travel at the speed of light, it would take years. So the alternative to that, of course, is invoking modern physics and talking about quantum wormholes and space-time warping, warp speed. These things faster than light travel. They're all of these ideas. And then you have to say to yourself, hyperspace becomes an important part of it. So chances are that beings from distant star systems that are able to easily travel to Earth and pilot these craft that can easily outmaneuver our most advanced aircraft and rockets and so on, they have a knowledge of hyperspace. They have a knowledge of higher dimensions, and they know how to travel through them. And as soon as you begin to get into hyperspace, hyperspatial dimensions, you can begin to look at dimensions of time as well, and dimensions of consciousness. They're all interrelated. So an advanced civilization capable of having adequate science to travel here from a distant star system will have knowledge of all of these things. And that knowledge will include a knowledge of the afterlife. We are, you could say, a very primitive culture, our so-called modern culture. We believe there is no such thing as an afterlife, in spite of the overwhelming evidence. So I often say to myself, if it exists, which I'm sure it does, it has to exist somewhere. And since it's not in three-dimensional space-time, it's going to be in hyperspace. And we have a very well-worked-out mathematics of hyperspace. It's the same mathematics that would be involved, for example, in plotting rocket trajectories. and so on, and understanding, cosmology from a conventional perspective right now, or string theory. They all involve hyperspace. And to add yet another wrinkle is that for over 150 years now, going back to 1800s to the report of seances, there has been a convergence of communication between the deceased and what we could think of as alien beings.
Right.
They used to appear together. Alien beings showed up in the 19th century seances, and dead people show up in UFO abductions.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there is this overlap, and until we develop sufficient scientific sophistication to be able to incorporate that into our mainstream way of thinking, we're not going to be ready to join the, let me put it this way, the Galactic Federation of Spacefaring Cultures.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few people who've put this forward that, you know, these UFOs, they maybe travel at the, instead of traveling at the speed of light or beyond the speed of light, they're traveling at the speed of thought, speed of consciousness, omnipotency, you know, and it's bridging this forbidden gap. And maybe that's why, if it is true, that it's a technological asset that is kind of traversing these completely unknown planes to us, or at least, you know, planes that we consider to be the imagination or the astral realms, and they're actually able to somehow dimensionally navigate that kind of thing. It speaks to, like the philosopher's stone, like this, the UFO represents this kind of like amazing amalgamation between, again, a symbiosis of spirit and science. So if we get to that point technologically, it does speak to this bending back to the, you know, archaic revival, and this look and this observation of life as spiritual but operating technologically at the same time. It's a really fascinating kind of disruptor of the status quo.
Or you could think of it as an evolutionary push. If we weren't already teetering on the edge of self-destruction, we might be able to simply evolve into a spacefaring civilization. But it does seem that we're not going to get there until we reverse course somehow.
What's your opinion on like the current conversation on UFOs? You know, since 2017, it's been relatively prominent. It hasn't been international in terms of consistency. Like, to be honest, most people in the UK, if I walk down the street, they've never heard of, you know, the Nimitz Tic Tac UFO or David Fravor or any of these things. So it's always a little bit weird to me to be very informed on the American process, which involves Congress and the Senate and, you know, classified briefings and all of this different stuff that's occurred over the years, but it hasn't really made the major international waves that, you know, sci-fi Hollywood paints of everyone suddenly being told it's happening. But, you know, I kind of and ah on how I feel about it, because it is coming through a process and a system that I don't really trust, and, you know, through agencies that have been potentially handling and sequestering this information. So, and also given the fact that, as you've discussed, it's a pretty complex pantheon of potentially multi-dimensional aspects, and we're being given a very bare bones, oh, it could be this, could be that kind of narrative. So where do you sit on it being discussed and where that's going and where it might go?
Well, there do seem to be slow leaks going out. I've been following the UFO field since I was a child. I began reading every UFO book I could find at the age of 10 and writing letters to the authors back there using crayons. and they would write back to me. So one can say that there's always been a public side to it and a government side to it. And there have been very, very slow and grudging leaks over the years from the government side, because even within the government, there are different camps. There are camps within the government that say this is of important military significance, and whatever we learn about it will give us a huge military edge, so it has to be a top secret, maybe even above top secret. above top secret, and it has to stay that way. And then there are other people in the government who say, no, the public needs to know. This is the potentially the greatest turning point in discovery in the history of humanity, and people have a right to know. And so we're going to, and so within the government, you've got these factions fighting over what's going to become of whatever knowledge the government has. And so I can say, yes, over the years, slowly, grudgingly, there have been acknowledgement from government figures, but not a lot. And I expect it'll continue to be only very limited and very slow coming from the government itself. They don't want to give away any potential military advantage there might be from understanding these things. And that's probably true of many governments. However, anybody who wants to study the civilian literature, it's vast. It's like the literature for life after death. There you're talking about thousands and thousands of bits of information coming from everywhere. And you know, so it's not really hidden.